Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I think that you just nailed why you have to at least give Steve Kerr a little bit of grace of, ooh, this is hard. This is hard. Because you just laid out all of these players.
I wasn't even done.
You weren't done. And you're like, who deserves more?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't think anybody's really got a case. Now, I could easily just respond by saying Kuminga because, like, I don't really know if it makes sense to just be flat out not playing him at all. I don't like that. That doesn't feel right to me. At the same time, you can't play 13 or 14 guys. And so I like just as quickly can be like, I don't really like that Will Richard is not playing at all. And you have trouble shooting and you won't put Seth Curry in the game. Well, you can't play 14. So who's got like just an absolute crazy case that they're playing great and they're leading to winning and they're not getting enough minutes? No one.
Right.
Nobody.
Well, when you add in that last piece of, and they're not getting enough minutes, because if you look at Pods, like, he's a guy who's playing a lot and he's a guy who's not killing you very often.
Not killing you. He's not lifting you.
No.
He's not drowning you.
Right. He's not a problem.
Right. You usually have a good quarter, and then he'll have a bad quarter, and then a good shot, and then he'll have a shot that drives you nuts. And
that's right.
Yeah.
And that little 10-foot floater that he...
I could kind of do without that.
I totally could, but I mean...
We could lose
a lot
that
of times
one.
You get late in the shot clock, and he does that little dribble move, and he does that little one-legged floater, and it's like... Even if he makes it, great, 2 points.
I mean, it's the shot that he can get off. So I get why he takes it. He's hit some very big threes. What's his three-point percentage this year? What's he doing from beyond the arc?
He's at 30. Where's Pods? Pods, he's at 40.6.
That's great. Like, that's legitimately really good.
Yeah.
So, again, I will go to my grave thinking that y'all hate Pods, which has nothing to do with Pods. It's completely circumstantial because this thing has been denigrated into a schoolyard argument of he started it. Like, that's what this feels like to me. You're mad at Pods because he plays a lot and he's not, I don't think he's necessary. I don't know that he's better than Jonathan. He's better than Jonathan at some things. He's worse than Jonathan at some things. He's nowhere near as athletic. But, you know, pound for pound, he's a better rebounder or has been in his career. He also plays a completely different position, so I've never understood why they get compared, but I get it. He represents something to people. Steve loves that guy, and Steve doesn't love that guy. But, like, the whole thing has denigrated into a bunch of ridiculousness. There's nobody else in the NBA shooting beyond 40% from the arc that the fan base hates. That doesn't exist anywhere else.
And it's because he gets, you know, caught in switches with, bigger guys, and he gets dominated down low, and, you know, he runs up to take a charge, and somebody goes around him, and it's easy to, you know, make him the pincushion when you're frustrated at other things. And just looking at the plus-minus, the box score plus-minus, you've got a lot of guys in the same range of negative 0.3, Pods, Moody, TJD, GP2, Draymond's a minus 2, all the way down to Kuminga, minus 4.6, so... A lot of your guys, players 4 through 13, they are net negatives on the floor.
Going to go out to the phones. Also mentioned the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Emotional moment for me. My grandmother from heaven has texted in. Apparently, she's got a 318 area code and says the word. Well, it says the word is devolved, not denigrated.
Okay.
So my grandma, who is my grammar police,
yep,
is clearly listening to the show. Thank you, Grandma. Grandma's great to see you.
It's pretty awesome.
It's great to hear from you.
Yeah.
All right. Not that you're wrong, but still, nobody likes the grammar police. Alex in Oakland. Hi, Alex. Thank you for calling.
What's up, fellas? You guys said most of the stuff that I wanted to say. Far as what's going on with the team, the main thing is your core is too old to run the offense like you want to run. It worked 10 years ago when everybody was 10 years younger. It's not working today because your core is too old to run those plays. Thing number two, and I'm going to say it again every time I call about the Warriors, play your younger players more. Guys keep saying, oh, well, we don't know how they play and we can't figure out how they play. Well, you're not letting them play. When Draymond went out of that game, I forget the game, but Draymond got hurt that game and they were losing. What happened? Everything sped up. Play your young legs. Let those guys run. Give Steph and Draymond and Jimmy another 3 minutes rest and let them guys run. Because as soon as Draymond went out of that game, that whole game sped up.
You're talking about
Jimmy, yeah. No Steph. No Draymond.
You're talking about the game in Philly, Alex. Thank you very much. I think Alex speaks for many. I can't argue the point. Like the Warriors, I feel, though, they've been stuck in that vortex for not just weeks, not just months, but years. Of the concept of you got to get younger, you got to get some of these guys minutes, and how that butts heads with Steph Curry and the old guard and them still wanting to hang on to doing it the way they used to do it. Those two things butt heads.
Yep.
And I don't think either one of them lead to a long playoff run.
I agree with you, and that ship has sailed. When you went ahead and brought in Al Horford and you traded for Jimmy Butler, you doubled down on this. And the thing that's really most galling to me is what's happened in 4 years in the association from when the Warriors won the chip to now. Most teams are playing faster. Most teams are obviously younger than the Warriors, so it's kind of a two-headed monster of the game is faster and you're slower. There's really no elixir. There's no cure.
And you were kind of old then.
Right, you were old then, but teams didn't play like they are now.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, you're still trying to do the same thing, which is too slow, and you're 4 years older.
Right, and 16 teams now play fast.
Right, and you turned Andrew Wiggins into Jimmy Butler. He's even older. He's not just 4 years older. He's like 8 years older.
And Jimmy's not an up-and-down speedster. No, he's effective in the half court.
Okay, 888-957-9570, the number. Steve Kerr, less than an hour. Think we might throw some Grandy's grades in because it is Tuesday, and I think a 49ers palate cleanser would actually feel kind of nice. We're sponsored by Safeway. Time for your calls, though, as well, so keep them coming. It's Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that's happening in 42 minutes. Steve Kerr.
All right.
Okay, it's a good day for it. There's a lot going on, and we're fully aware that there's a lot of frustration, and we're fully aware that a lot of you want us to hold his feet to the fire.
Yep.
Steve, when it comes to head coach of the Warriors, you cannot be that guy.
Wow.
Look, if you listen to the internet, which, guess what, everyone? We don't.
And he doesn't.
We see
it. I don't care.
Yeah, we see it. We see you.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
But, the streets, the streets are mad at Steve right now.
Yeah.
Sure. And by the way, hello, when a team is struggling, the head coach is a target.
I have no idea.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Kyle Shanahan did this last year. Steve Kerr's doing it this year. That's what we're doing.
Melvin lost his job.
Yeah, and so that's totally fine, and we get it. And I do think there are some pointed questions coming today. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you want someone to attack Steve Kerr on the air, you're going to have to find a podcast or something. I actually don't even think that exists. That's not what anyone with the Warriors has earned, but I think that there are some direct questions that will be asked.
Sure.
For sure.
I mean,
for sure.
There have to be, and it's about more than just Joe Lacob and his email response and Kuminga and his playing time. I just am really interested in what Joe Lacob said about Jimmy's not the problem, and I agree with him. Jimmy's not the problem, but what are the problems and what are the solutions? And Steve's not going to be able to say, well, this guy and this guy and that guy and that guy. And there really are a lot of problems and there aren't any easy solutions. Like the one solution is, well, how about the guys who shoot, they shoot better. And the guys who defend, they defend better. And the people who have the ball, they stop turning it over. Those are definitely things that are problems. When Draymond Green has 8 turnovers, that's a problem. When Buddy Hield, who is supposed to be your sniper 1A, I save the day, and you're shooting 31%, that's a problem. So we can go through all the problems, and we will, and I don't know what the solutions are other than, hey, guys, play better, you know?
Well, I think you're spot on, and this is, for me, still where the conversation falls short, is I do think that a lot of us, you express frustration, like even take this emailer who got to Joe Lacob today. And hey, Joe, you got to do something about this team. Well, what? What is it y'all want to do? What is it that any of them can do? Like, oh, sure, Steve's front and center, Mike Dunleavy. We better trade someone. Well, the main guy they want to trade is not even tradable. What? Like, Joe Lacob's response, the first words out of his mouth, it's complicated. It's complicated. So I get the frustration. I get it. The Warriors are tough right now. In fact, Samita in Los Gatos says the team is unwatchable. Samita, thank you for calling. Is that your thought? The team's unwatchable?
Yeah, it's brutal watching these games where they come back, put up a fight, and then lose by, you know, a handful of points at the end because, I don't know, just like it's like the wheels come off at the end. And, you know, watching them is, you know, you watch Steph make these incredible efforts every night. He is really carrying this team on his shoulders, but no one else is stepping up to the level that he is. And when Steph Curry is scoring 40-plus points a night and you are still losing, you have a very deep-rooted problem.
No question.
Very, very deep-rooted problem.
Samina, do you want to... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, do you want to take a crack at what you would do, though? Like, what do you want to see them do differently? Yeah. What's the fix?
Yeah. You got to play Butler in a different role. And if you're not going to play him in a different position where he can be more effective, then you got to get rid of him. And I think just about, as you guys were saying, 4 through 14, none of those guys are good enough. And I don't know why they're not good enough. I don't have the, you know, basketball, you know, background to be able to say why they're good enough, not good enough. I don't know if it's they're not getting enough minutes. I don't know if they're not being coached correctly or they just don't have it. But we have no upcoming saviors on the bench.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen, whether it's Pods, Kuminga, or anybody. And if Joe, and I think Dunleavy has to take some of the heat for this because who are these guys? Why are we so invested in these guys who cannot come through when we need them? And we have Steph Curry at 37 years old scoring 40-plus points a game against teams like the Blazers. I mean, we lost to Minnesota with, you know, nobody.
You know what's fascinating, though, Samita? Like, what'd you think of all those scrubs when they went on the road to Cleveland and Chicago in 24 hours and won two basketball games?
Yeah, I kind of think they were flukes because, you know, okay, the name of the game is consistency.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Hey, Samita, great call. Thank you very much. Like, and here's the reason I bring that up. She used the word roles, and I really think that's where the Warriors are stuck. I think Jimmy Butler is suddenly having a hard time fitting. We already know that Jonathan is having a hard time fitting. And all of these people who look like scrubs, and maybe they are, but at the same time, you're playing with Steph Curry. Therefore, you automatically know your role is kind of like, hey, just be in a certain spot and see if you can pass 30 the ball. And that's kind of like, I think that a lot of players get stuck in a spot of, I don't know how aggressive to be or not be when we're out here with Steph. And so, again, I'm not saying the Warriors are better off without Steph. That's stupid. But I do think sometimes in a small sample, you get what you got last weekend, which is Steph's not there. And all same thing, Draymond leaves at Philly, and here we go. All of a sudden, these guys are like, woo! It's like a dog arriving
at the dog park,
and they're just like, wow! Like they start running 1,000 miles an hour. And you're like, you walked here, but now I took the leash off, gone.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the freedom, and it's a certain amount of, you know, the role is defined when there's no Steph, and there's no Jimmy, and there's no Draymond. You're Pat Spencer, and you're going to start, and you get to cook, and Will Richard, the same thing. Quentin Post is a little different because no matter who's out there with Quentin Post, he knows what he's supposed to do. On offense, go ahead and get to your spot right there below the break, not quite all the way in the corner, but just go out there, Quentin, and we're going to find you, 4 to 8 times a game, and you catch and shoot, and you knock it down, hopefully, and we'll go from there. The thing about Jimmy, and I was just looking at his game log last year when he joined the Warriors, and it's almost identical to this year. Field goal attempts, points a game, rebounds, shooting percentage, three-point percentage. So Jimmy is really, for the most part, he's kind of been what you expected last year when he came and before the playoffs and before Steph got hurt and the rest of it.
Yep.
He's about 11 shots a game, about 18 points a game, and that's what he's done this year. So when Joe Lacob, yeah, Jimmy's not the problem, I kind of agree with him because Jimmy Butler's not going to be 25 points a night anymore. That's not who he is.
No, I don't think
anymore.
Yeah, I don't think you want him to do that. Like in an ideal world, the offense runs through Steph, and kind of as things get late in the shot clock, that's when you start to move maybe toward Jimmy to see if he can drive and create something for someone else or get himself to the free throw line. Or who knows, every now and again, he might actually just finish. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how I see the absolute basics of the Warriors' offense, but they're in and out of the lineup, and the other guys are all seemingly somewhat confused about when to hit the gas and when to hit the brakes. Some of them have been kind of locked in the corner, and everybody's frustrated. Everybody's frustrated because it, like, the whole thing just feels kind of stop-start, sometimes even within games.
No doubt.
That's why you get like a half against OKC or Philly, where you're just like, well, this is sleepy and awful. And then the next thing you know, you're like, whoa, gangbusters. Here they come from behind. It's just too inconsistent, all of it.
Because you're talking about players 4 through 13 who honestly aren't that good. And if you want to look at all those individuals, they are probably on a very good team. They're probably players 7 through 13. But on this team, somebody's got to be player 4, player 5, player 6, etc.
Yeah,
and that's where
it's a good point.
It's a little bit harsh, but I'm just going to say it because, you know, if it's Moody and Pods, and if it's Post and Heald, and if it's D'Anthony Melton and TJD and Gee and Pat, these are all, like, some of those guys are true third stringers. The other guys are second stringers.
No, like
D'Anthony Melton is a great example. If he's playing at his best, and you are a really good team, he's probably your sixth man, or maybe your seventh man.
Maybe. I mean, he can be. I don't mind if he's a starter on the team. I think the question that you're getting to, and I wonder even how you'd answer this, who do you want to be the Warriors' third scorer?
I mean, who would I want?
Who do you want it to be?
In an ideal In an ideal setting, it probably would be Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield would become the splash cousin,
right?
And Buddy Hield would play up to his level. And if he could do that, because honestly, in an ideal world, Steph's going to get you 27 or 28.
Yeah.
Jimmy's going to get you 18.
Or 20, yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, Buddy gets you 15. And then Draymond gets you 12. Quentin will get you 9. And then everybody else can chip in with, you know, 8s and 7s and 6s.
See, I think it's such a fascinating answer because you answered it sort of in the moment with what the Warriors are currently attempting to do. I bet plenty of listeners just screamed at their smart speaker or their radio.
All roads, you idiots!
Yeah, and they're not wrong. That's in an ideal world.
Right.
We're not living in an ideal world. And whether it's whether you want to side with he hasn't been given the opportunity to do it, or you want to side with he hasn't made the most of the opportunities that he has been given, I would argue you're all correct. I would argue you're all correct. But yes, that's who you... I think that's who they want to be the third scorer. He hasn't shown the ability to do it. And Steve is not patient enough to stick with it, nor probably are Steph and Jimmy. And so to me, that's the whole problem. You don't have one.
No.
And you need one. You need one. Go around to the other good teams and you all can name. Like I can do OKC, we can do Denver. You can all come up with a viable, like, oh, yeah, that person can score the basketball. If I go to Denver, the guy who owns the Warriors is their third option. His name is Aaron Gordon. It used to be Michael Porter. But, like, those are third options. I go to OKC, and once you get past Shea and J-Dub, you could think about Chet Holmgren or even, you know, going inside to Hartenstein or whatever. Like, these are teams that have an actual... Look at the Lakers, for God's sakes. I don't even need to name the three names. You know what I'm talking about.
The Rockets, I just looked at it.
Look at it.
Because I'm fascinated by Houston. Their third scorer is a guy named Amen Thompson. You know he's averaging 17 a night?
Is he really?
17
he's
a night.
He's going to be special. He's going to be really special.
And I just looked at Houston because I was thinking about Joe Lacob and his comment in the email, style of play. And the style of play that the Warriors play... does not suit Jonathan Kuminga. The Warriors are shooting the second most threes a game in the association, and JK is not a good three-point shooter. So I thought, what other team out there doesn't shoot the three but actually scores pretty well? And that's Houston. They shoot fewer than 30 threes a game, and they're averaging .121 a night.
Yep.
They're fourth in the association in PPG, points per game. The style of play that they play... it suits them. KD's not a three-point guy. Şengün, no. Amen Thompson, God, no.
No.
But all they do is get to the line, offensive rebound, and score.
Yeah,
they have an identity. They have a style of play that suits their roster. The style of play that the Warriors are playing, it doesn't suit Kuminga. And unfortunately, it doesn't suit a lot of these guys.
Well, that's kind of the point. Like when we go, hey, why are you shooting so many threes? And then you go, hey, why are you so small? Well, you kind of answered your own question.
Right.
Like, the Rockets can go...
answered your own question.
The Rockets can go inside because they have the length to do so. And they can get high percentage looks because they can shoot over people. The Warriors can't go in there. They can't go in there.
They're Jimmy Butler, you were just saying
they're too small.
Yep.
Too small to go in there, so you got to fire a three. But then they're not that consistent from three. And there you go. There's your answer.
That's right.
Some nights you're going to be okay from three. And you might win those games. You might win those games if you can defend on the other end. But if you're going to be cold from three, you're going to get 5 points in the first quarter in Philadelphia. That's what you're going to get.
Man.
You know what I mean? So 888-957-9570. We made an executive decision on the fly there. Maybe we'll do Grandy's grades on the Niners tomorrow. People are just too...
Yeah.
This is too...
To bury them for getting to 10 wins.
I was going to give their defense a C+. Sala, where were you last weekend? Sitting there with a Mai Tai, letting the offense do all the work. Anyway.
Seriously. We'll get to it.
For sure we will. And Kerr's in a half hour, but there's a lot of you that want to weigh in. So let's do that. We're here for you. Rick in Concord. Hi, Rick. Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having my call.
Yeah.
Long-time listener, but for me, it's it's all about touches on in the paint. Right now, they don't have the balance. We just want to take all the 3-pointers in the world. We are, 3-point attempts is high, so that means just no finisher. At the time that we're doing well, Kuminga was doing well. He was finishing. We were touching the paint. Jimmy was touching the paint. At this point, I would love to see GP2 get a run at it, just because we know he can finish. We know he can defend. He knows his role. He doesn't need to try so hard. The ball gets to where it needs to be. Jimmy can play his role. He could be the wing guy. He could be the cutter. And at some point, Kuminga was that guy. And for some reason, he became the wing and just held the ball outside and had all these turnovers. So I would really like to see GP2 get a crack at it. Give him 5-6 minutes, see how it goes. But I think at the time we were winning, he was in the game. The play was fast. He knew how to play defense. He knew how to play with these guys. And he's a consistent guy within that group that knows his role.
Rick, thanks. I don't necessarily disagree. I could probably, hell, we'll listen on anyone right now, right? Here's the thing about GP2. I do think there are moments where the offense really, the ball movement with GP2 and him kind of getting into that dunker spot or maybe a corner three, and he obviously does not hurt you on the defensive end, it can be really good. The problem with GP2 is if they get him out of the corner and they put him out there on the wing, he becomes a non-factor immediately. Yep. Offensively. And here we go. Rinse, repeat. Can you put GP2 on the floor with Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green?
No.
You're done.
Yep.
You're dust. You're dust. The three-point line becomes a total problem. And so when you watch some of these other teams, when you watch the game in Portland the other night, doesn't it feel like the three-point line is surrounded? We've got you surrounded. Come out with your hands up. And the ball will move, and it doesn't matter who it gets to. It's a dangerous, open three-point look. The Warriors have too many players that help them on the defensive side that are basically unplayable on the offensive side because it means there's too many non-shooters on the floor.
And that's an interesting comp because Portland is 29th in the association in three-point percentage.
Unless they're playing the Warriors.
Right, and it's because the Warriors don't guard it very well. At least they haven't against Portland, and maybe it's just Portland having a couple of great nights at home against Golden State from three, but it's not a wrong way to describe it because even when Portland wasn't shooting threes, they're getting a lot of easy shots. Yep. At the rim because they have so much size, throwing up alley-oops to Robert Williams and company, and they're able to get easy buckets that way. So if the Warriors aren't hitting threes, they're having a hard time getting into the paint and getting buckets that way because they're outsized across the board.
Totally. Brandon in Orinda, next up. Hi, Brandon. Thank you for calling.
Hey, can you hear me?
We got you.
All right, sweet. Yeah, so going back to Dib's question, he asked, who do you wish would be the third scorer? And for me, that's got to be the little Gator, right? He's the cheapest. He's the youngest. We have him for the longest. We want to get excited about the future. How about the young guy? That's all I got. Thank you.
Yeah, Brandon, I mean, I'll listen on anyone mode. I don't think Will is ready for that. Does he feel, again, being a number three scorer means you got to be ready to kind of do that every night.
Yep.
And I don't think, Will has shown he might pop a night and then he's going to kind of disappear. I think he's still figuring it out. I will say this about Will Richard. When someone brings up GP2, my mind kind of goes to Will Richard. Because he's an energy guy, and I think he's at least a solid enough defender. He has the makings of a good defender, but I'm a little bit more comfortable with him firing a three-pointer from the wing.
No doubt.
Than I am GP2.
Not quite the defender that GP2 is, but a better offensive player and a guy who can shoot the three, and he's shooting it at almost 40% in the time that he's been out there. But the biggest problem, and Steve will break this down without running the numbers, but if you look at minutes per game, they've got a bunch of guys in that 16 to 26-minute range. And that doesn't include Pods, who's a little bit above that. But you've got like 9 guys who are all in that, we're going to play you,
yep.
And we're going to see.
Get you a little run.
We can get you a run,
don't
and
miss.
Then we'll see. I mean, don't miss or don't blow a defensive assignment.
Yeah, don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and then there's Kuminga, who's averaging 26 minutes a game, but he's only played in 17 of the 27. So that's the one where, and you said it before, like, if you wanted to say, who would you want your third scorer to be?
Who do you want it to be?
It would be Kuminga.
Yeah.
It would be Kuminga with the ha-ha, playing the right way, defending and rebounding, hitting the occasional three.
Dunker spot.
And he hits a three a game. He's about 33%. Hit a three, have four or five dunks, hit a few free throws, give us 15 and 7 every single night.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's who you would want
and
it to be.
And both sides have not been able to figure that out.
Right.
Super frustrating.
You can't score when you're getting DNPs.
That's true.
That's my whole high school career.
Matt on 101. Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Love the rhythm and flow of your show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm struck by the rising tide of negativity towards Steve Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked. Lute Olson, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr. He knows how to do the hardest thing in sport, which is get to the finish line. He knows how to get to the end of games, even though we're struggling with that right now. He knows how to get to the end of a season. Incredible. Four championships as a coach, five more as a player. Indisputable excellence. About the current team, I see the role for Kuminga exclusively as the third scorer. He should be starting the second quarter of every game along with Pajemski. I'm an avid basketball fan for over 60 years. One of my first memories is Mike Reardon and Dave Stallworth.
Wow.
Those 69-70 Red Holtzman Knicks starting every second quarter with the liberty to shoot the ball. We know Kuminga is a flawed player, but we know he could get double figures off the bench every night. I'd start Steph and D'Anthony Melton so that we could have on-ball defense to start the game with D'Anthony and have Buddy ready to come in and score as well with Draymond and Jimmy and QP. And then Kuminga and Pajemski coming off the bench to light it up. We know Kuminga's flawed. He'd excel in that role.
Matt, thanks. Appreciate
it. Thank you,
Matt. Yeah, I mean, look, the thing is to all of us, it seems like it's so simple. And after talking about this for 2 years, I don't think most of us still understand why that seems so hard for the Warriors. But there have got to be reasons. Like, why can't they just say, Jonathan, just come in and be crazy energy off the bench? And you can score. You can do some scoring, but it's going to be in spurts.
Yeah.
I'm
sure they've said that.
I think they've tried that.
Your analogy about being a parent with children, and Kuminga's not a child and Steve's not a parent, but the whole overarching idea of you're able to tell somebody something,
yeah.
And our boss, he's told us a lot of things about how we should go about doing our job, and we don't all listen to what he advises.
Grandy's telling me to go to break right now.
You don't have to.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
But
I was making a good point.
Yeah. I love when people have that whole thing. Like, well, you know what you need to do? You need to sit him down and talk to him.
Yeah, I could just turn your mics off, too.
You wouldn't do that.
Look at the power-hungry, grandiose
Grandy. I control it all over here.
That would backfire on your ass.
Yeah. You can't spell grandiose without Grandy.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Whatever.
Steve Kerr in 18 minutes.
It's Willard and Dibbs.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're here for your calls. Keep them coming because we're going to have 10 minutes to hang out with you before Steve gets here. So 888-957-9570. Sure. That question seems to be playful enough. Who do you want to be the Warriors' third option? Let's go. Let's take some calls and then Steve will be here. It's Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And you never know when I'll be on the River Islands guest line. So make sure to keep it locked on 95.7 The Game.
You do?
I do.
You do. It's going to be in 10 minutes.
I cannot wait.
Steve Kerr.
He cannot be that guest. He actually can be.
Yes, he can.
And he will
he
be.
All guests. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. I bet Steve right now is like, I can't wait to get on Willard and Dibs.
Yep.
Boy, do I love answering.
First of all, I don't really care.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
He better be wearing fireproof socks. Because them feet, I'm about to be held to the fire now.
Steve, did we lose you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm here.
That was season one.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, a lot of questions to ask.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well. It's sports radio, so what do you want? You know, Joe Lacob is emailing fans.
Yep.
Jonathan Kuminga is not playing basketball.
Is this the week where we open up the phone lines to listeners to ask Steve a question?
Oh, let me check.
Is this not that week? Not, okay. Okay. Tis the season to be angry.
I haven't given that any thought.
Pat Spencer is missing Thursday for personal reasons.
Okay.
The Warriors are under 500. We're exactly, as of yesterday, it is a month away from what many are calling JK Day.
I made that up.
What else? What else do we got? Will Richard doesn't play basketball. Seth Curry doesn't play basketball.
Buddy Hield couldn't hit the ocean if he fell out of a boat west of Hawaii.
You got to help me out because I was doing the show in the middle of the Warrior-Portland game, so I was watching, but I would miss little pieces here and there because we're doing the show. Like, I saw Buddy hit some threes.
Yep.
Was he awful against Portland? What was the full number?
Not awful.
Okay.
2 for 5 from three.
That's fine.
It's fine.
It what? 40%?
It's fine, but, I mean, he's got a 1 for 5 two games back.
Yeah.
A 3 for 6, a 2 for 7. He is shooting below.
My name is Buddy.
I'm sorry, Buddy, and I love you. You're always there. You always play. Last year, he shot 37% from three.
Okay.
The year before, combining two teams, he shot 39. The year before that, 39. The year before that, 42. This year, he's at 31 and a hook.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
what would Joe Namath say about how he's played?
I want to kiss you.
Struggling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, either one works. Well, but
depends on if he's had any.
It's
cocktails.
From the same. And it's not a rant, but that's one of the single greatest live interviews in history.
Completely. And completely.
Susie Colbert gets a 7 out of 5 on how she handled it.
Oh my God.
Poor. Thanks, thing. Joe.
Yeah, poor thing. I mean.
I really don't care that the Jets are struggling. It's one of my underrated good impersonations.
I want to kiss you. Oh, God.
Struggling.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. And then all callers appear just on the line. So let's go to Burns in Fremont. Hi, Burns. Thank you for calling.
Gentlemen, how are you all this evening?
So good. What's up? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, man. I got a beep, 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 beep message for the Bay Area.
A Morse code?
And Warrior fans especially, it's time to keep Kuminga out your mouth. I'm tired of it. This is the sound I make when my wife asks me to do something. Oh, that's the same sound I hear when people talk about Kuminga. It's just ridiculous, man. And this is the thing. This is the thing about the Warriors right now. I asked your screener, and man, me and him had a nice little convo. But I asked him, I said, hey, would you be okay? Would you be okay with what the Warriors are doing right now if they make a serious run at the Western Conference Finals? And he said, this is amazing. He said, no, because they wouldn't, they would have lost. They wouldn't have won the championship. And it just dawns on me right then and there what kind of Warrior fans there are. There's Warrior fans that have just been born in this, you know, time of the Warriors, and there's Warrior fans that, like me, that have been through the struggle, seen the down, seen the ups, and enjoy it, right? And then he started coming back at me, hey, well, we have Steph and this and that, and it's like, yeah, we do have Steph. Enjoy it, my friend. Enjoy it. Whatever happens with Steph is all gravy right now. We got the rings, and yeah, we want another one, but man, it's time. And please, if you are a caller, I swear, man, if you are a caller and I find out who you are, the ones that call and want Kerr fired, man, don't ever come down the same street I'm coming down. And that's for real. Love you guys. Have a great one.
Whoa. See you, Burns.
I mean, Burns aggressive.
Wow. I thought he was going to threaten somebody there.
First of all, he's the director of sports. He's not just a screener.
No, he has a name.
Yeah.
It's Lucas with an L.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, and I stand by it.
And he took an L, Lucas, right there.
Yeah.
Burns, what? Coming down his road.
Yeah, were you and Burns okay? Did you have beef?
I don't know. He started real hot. I was kind of nervous, yeah, of even putting him on the air, but he did great.
But you went for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Burns did great. Burns has a lot of energy.
Burns
is a little, like, in general, I kind of like where Burns is coming from. Today, it feels a little Bobby McFerrin-esque, which people don't like. And
Brandon, do you know what that reference is?
Do you know what the
Bobby
reference
McFerrin?
Is? If I say
don't worry, be happy.
Good job,
yeah,
Grandy.
Impressive.
Lucas, did you have any idea what the hell Grandy's talking about?
Actually, yeah.
Okay, good for
you.
Great
song.
All right, sing it.
I could.
You can't
That's
even
a four.
Whistle. No,
but it's a great
not,
effort.
But it's not singing.
It takes a lot of effort
Steve
to try
Young,
whistling
Young would
when
tell
you're not
you
good.
That's not singing. But anyway,
should I try again?
Go for it. Yeah, no,
that was just better.
Yeah, don't
close though.
Don't worry. Yeah, and then you got to go through the whole thing again. And then be happy now. Anyway.
1988. So, yeah.
Ouch.
Neither Lucas nor Grandy were even a twinkle in their parents' eye.
Do you know that I was sitting here talking to you yesterday, and we got these four TVs here in our room.
Yep.
Three of them work. And one of them.
One's a clock.
One of them had a big thing that popped up on the screen, and it was former Astro Craig Biggio highlights. And it goes, happy 60th birthday.
No.
I did the same thing. I was like,
you
shut your mouth, TV.
Dude.
You go away. Craig Biggio, who always looked 18 when he was 28. Little baby face guy.
Yep.
Little catcher.
And then 60.
60.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to bed.
Totally.
I don't
love the young people. Where's my Afghan?
I don't want to do the rest of this day.
Yeah, that one hurts.
60.
That's a tough one.
Come on. I'm like 48. Yeah.
Sure.
48.
My age, you know?
Biggio. Yeah. Exactly. Gurus, too.
You would figure.
Okay. Anyway, the Bobby McFerrin thing. It's hard when people care about something to just be like, yo, chill, don't worry, be happy. I'll give you a quick story. So one time, coming home from a concert, whole group of people decided to get like a limo, you know, 15 people. Hey, let's get a limo. And everybody chips in, and then you got a ride to and from the concert. Well, the concert goes really late. And this is when I'm doing morning radio. So I got to be somewhere at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yep.
Now, I signed up for it. I'm the one who bought tickets to a concert the night before I had to work. But it was a show I really wanted to see. And the limo driver gets lost on the way home. Okay? And I'm like looking at my watch. I'm like, I got to be up in like 3 hours. And the limo driver is going off in literally the wrong direction. And I'm wanting to climb out of my seat and go, you know, bzzz down the window and be like, can I help you? Because I know how to get where we're going. And the rest of the limo is a bunch of people. They're like, dude.
What's the rush?
She's chill, bro. It's all good. Wasted out of their minds, just chilling. And there's a little bit of that in what Burns just said. Hey, all of you frustrated Warrior fans, just chill, bro. We got Steph Curry. It's cool. Don't worry so much.
Yeah.
And that'll drive you nuts if you're over here in Stressville. And that night, I was in Stressville. I was looking at the clock, clock, clock. I was worried about my sleep. I was worried about getting a migraine headache. And the drunk people who were telling me to chill made me want to punch them in the face.
And that's how Burns feels about the Fire Steve Kerr contingent.
Right, but also I bet the Fire Steve Kerr contingent feels that way about Burns. Like, don't tell a Warrior fan right now it's all okay. Even though I totally get how some of you might feel like it is. I think there's a healthy portion of Warrior fans who have been feeling that this was coming for a long time. This is how a dynasty ends. Every time.
It doesn't have to necessarily end this way this soon. And I know it's not soon? That soon, but...
Yeah, I would argue it's not, like, it's late.
Well, and you got the bonus title, right. Which in my family... I was the bonus baby. I was called a mistake. Baby number four, which is kind of like...
I would never call you that, by the way.
I was called that repeatedly, and I was also told that I was adopted. And it's part of my past. It's part of why I have this hunger and this edge. But that fourth title is like the Danny Dibley of titles. You didn't expect it, but oh my, what a blessing. And so now, you know, you still have Steph, so you're virile enough, and you've got a team of vets, and you're thinking that... You might still get a fifth, but the reality of getting a fifth doesn't really color the way I look at this team. However, when I look at this team, I do expect better, and I expect more than what we've seen. So it's not it's not championship or bust. Well, it is, and you're right, dynasties all end in a certain way, but the way that this thing has gone through 27 games, for me, doesn't feel like an ending of a dynasty. It just feels more... troubling on what we're seeing.
I get that. I think it's also just a matter of whether you're in the moment or not. And you all get to choose where you want to watch Warrior basketball. Like, if you're just in the moment, if you're just doing right now, and that's all you want to do, and I'm told that's the healthy way to live, but like, if that's what you want to do, yeah, it's frustrating. Right now is frustrating. If you want to find a way to do like that Great America Ride and like hit the button, have it go straight up into the air 10,000 feet.
The edge.
Yeah. If you want to look down on everything, then you can very easily be like, yeah, like we're fine. This has been amazing. This has been amazing for 15 years. And we've had every luxury that a fan base and that an organization can have. And it's hard to be like super ticked that a 37-year-old superstar isn't still running the league just by his presence. Like, I get both sides of that.
My advice, don't look down.
Okay.
Just don't look down.
That, dude, the edge was, that was a thing.
No doubt.
Took me a lot of convincing to get up there. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.